Warren Zanes is not only the author of the biography about Tom Petty, but worked with him and actually even had his own band on tour with him and brought him along and has spent many days with the great Tom Petty. He's also worked exclusively lately with somebody very near and dear to our hearts here at WBGO, little Stephen Van Zandt in the Underground Garage. So we're thrilled that you're here. So thanks for joining us, first of all, on the WBGO Journal.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about, what did this man mean to you?
Well, I was 12 when I heard the first Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers record. And, you know, to my ears, I heard the best of early rock and roll and the best of 60s soul merged with a kind of rock sensibility. But if you listen to the song Breakdown, which was their first single, it's closer to almost a Booker T and the MGs feel than what we were accustomed to in the way of Styx and Foreigner. So it felt like closer to the earth for us, but it also gave us the feeling that our music, not our parents' music, was on the way, being delivered to us.
Baby, break down, go ahead, give it to me. Break down, honey, take me through the night. Break down, now I'm standing here, can you see? Break down, it's all right.
That's the way it's been throughout my life with Tom Petty. It's, you know, it's always that next record I'm looking for. He's had the dignity as a songwriter and band leader to let his music grow as he's grown. So when he was 30, he wrote a 30-year-old record. You know, when he was 40, it was a 40-year-old man. And that allowed me to also grow up with it. And not all artists have pulled that off. So he's very near and dear to my heart in the way I think he is to, you know, many, if not most, of his fans.
You know, I've been listening this week to various programs about Tom, including his own Tom Petty Radio on Sirius. There was a very young kid who was so upset over hearing about the death of Tom Petty and said that, you know, just in a very short period of time, he became so connected. And then on the other side, there was a lady who had seen him 91 times, including 9 concerts just in the 40th anniversary tour. He could, as you mentioned, in that way, he can touch so many generations.
Yeah, I mean, I put his writing in the Hank Williams Buddy Holly class. It's got that perceived simplicity, even when, you know, sometimes the chord structure or the arrangement is not actually simple, but it gives off that air. It's approachable. And in terms of the themes, he's got a big wide area for identification. And I think that's made him successful in the mainstream. And what people don't look too closely at is he's actually quite eccentric for the mainstream. So when you listen to a song like Free Fallin' and just break it down at the level of the lyrics, this is not conventional, you know, mainstream radio listening. And so he's pulled off a bit of an artistic magic trick in my book.
And it's a long day living in Reseda. There's a freeway running through the yard. And I'm a bad boy, don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for breaking her heart.
And speaking of Tom Petty Radio and Underground Garage, both amazing shows that bring out artists and the influences of these two wonderful musicians, really shows how deep both of them are, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Now, Tom Petty didn't go out a lot, but one of the last things that I did with him is we went you know, outside of L.A. to see the group The Shelters that he was producing. Younger artists, but a classic rock and roll band. And on the way to this gig, what Tom was listening to was Underground Garage. So there's definitely a shared sensibility, however different little Steven and Tom Petty are in their personas. This class of artists who grew up around the time the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan, the music's really, really in them, in their heart, in their guts. And at this age, becoming DJs, I think, has been important to them. I mean, Dylan went and did it also. But it's a way for them to do the missionary work they feel compelled to do. Something happened for them through this music. They want it to happen for others.
A day with Tom that you'll never forget.
Wow, that's a tough one. I'll tell you, when we toured with him, and I can say this because I'm a sober man, but I used to indulge in some marijuana, and in fact, I was one of the children that got our mother growing pot for us. And on tour, Tom Petty was really impressed with what we had our hands on. And when he found out it was our mother's, he said, "Next time she visits you in Los Angeles, would you bring her out to the house?" So I'll say that the day we brought my mother to Tom Petty's house so she could deliver a bag of pot to him, that was a pretty memorable day.
What did she say to him?
She said, "I brought you something."
Was she a fan as well?
Of pot or of Tom Petty? Because the truth is she did not smoke pot. She just had a green thumb, and she did that for us. And again, I'm just about 24 years sober, so I say this with a clear conscience. Yes, she was a fan of Tom Petty through us. But we were fans of Tom Petty because when we came out of the womb, there was my mother's record collection with the Beatles, the Stones, Josh White, Ian and Sylvia, the band, Dylan. You know, the household you come into is going to play such a big role in how your tastes are established. And our tastes were established in such a way that when we heard Tom Petty, we were set up to know it was good.
Not every legendary musician had an opportunity to meet their idol, but Tom Petty did get to meet Elvis Presley.
He did this over and over in his life. He got to meet Elvis Presley. He was a preteen. And then you look at this life unfolding, and it goes from being a kid who's a fan and really structures his identity around rock and roll and the promises that rock and roll delivers. And then he enters this career where he, you know, produces Del Shannon, forms a band with George Harrison, backs Bob Dylan, you know, works with Roy Orbison, Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash. I think the important thing to recognize is that it's not that Tom was going and seeking all these people out. They saw something in him. He had his brand of cool. I remember George Harrison talking about this. He said, you know, we were trying to be something. Tom was that thing. You know, this Southern kid with that Southern sensibility that was so important to, you know, the rock and roll spirit. You know, Tom had it. He was cool. He was musical. He was funny. As serious about the music as any scholars I've ever met.
Yeah, running down a dream that never would come to me. Working on a mystery, going wherever it leads. Running down a dream.
We're speaking with Warren Zanes here on the WBGO Journal. Warren, we're starting to lose too many of these legendary musicians, aren't we?
Well, referring back to Little Steven, he talks about the 60s as a kind of renaissance period. I think one reason it's so noticeable is that the musical heroes associated with that renaissance period are reaching the end of their lives. And so we feel like the bottom is dropping out of popular music, in part because that period was just unnaturally rich. It was a period of remarkable innovation, in part because people didn't know what they were doing. You know, they had to invent their way to a final product. So there was a lot of invention. They didn't know where it was going. They didn't take themselves too seriously. And there was a kind of racial, class, you know, gender mix that was, it changed when we hit the 70s. But there was this beautiful period where there was a higher level of mixing, higher level of innovation, higher level of we don't know what this is. And the figures associated that with, you know, are hitting the end of their lives. And, you know, it's at some point, you know, I feel like, you know, I want to see the generation that's coming up say, well, damn, we better get to work. And I think there's some of that out there. I'm just always hoping there's more and that there's something, despite how kind of diffuse the media is, I hope there's some experience that can, in a different place, in a different way, replicate things like Beatles on Ed Sullivan, Woodstock, where there were these significant coming together moments. I hope that happens in some way. I don't know what it would be, but I hope it happens.
After writing the book about Tom Petty, is there an artist out there now that you would say, yeah, I'd like to tell his story or her story?
Oh, sure. Maybe, you know, Bob Dylan affected the business for guys like me because he wrote his own book and everybody always wants to be like Dylan. So they write their own books. And they're not always the right person to do it. Not everybody should do it in autobiography. Yeah, but there are some out there. I feel like Stevie Wonder doesn't have the book he should have. He's one on some level, a Michael Jackson. And yes, there's a lot of product out there. Is there something definitive? Not seeing it yet. But these are story people. The list is actually longer than me throwing you a couple. You go to a bookstore and you look at the music section. It's small. You think about American life and the place that music has in this country. You know, how we form our identities around the music we love. And you look back at that book section where the music books are, it's way too small. So it's not that we're looking for subjects. It's like everybody should be writing books on music.
And it may be even smaller when it comes to jazz books here. We're on WBGO. Now, we know that little Stephen really enjoys the morning show here at WBGO, and we are thrilled that he is not only a listener but a supporter of this great station. How about Tom Petty? Did he have a jazz collection?
There are some artists in R&B and blues who start to kind of push over into jazz. So artists who fit that description, yes. But, you know, I didn't see him, reaching for the Miles Davis in the same way that he reached for the Elvis Presley.
The first thing I thought of when I heard of the death of Tom Petty was a beautiful picture that's on the walls at Prudential Center that I, you know, as I cover Devils games or events over there, he was one of the first people to perform there. And there's this wonderful picture of him there. And I just look at it as, you know, they put it up there because they know how important he is to this area, to the music, to being at Prudential Center. When you think of Tom Petty, what do you think of?
You know, I go back to the songs because I used those songs in the way that many of his fans used those songs. When I hit a period in my life where I was beginning to feel a little too alone and whatever I was going through, there was always a Tom Petty song. And if you are experiencing something hard in life and you find a song that you can wake up in the morning and connect to, your relationship with that song is changed. It's deep. I believe it's forever. And I've got more than one Tom Petty song, believe me, that has carried me in that way. So I think of that catalog, and I think of its emotional content, and I think of, you know, what an honest song can do to a listener. And that's the Tom Petty voice, is it's an honest voice. It's there's a certain emotional fearlessness in the music that, man, I heard from the first time I heard Breakdown, and he kept delivering that. And, you know, not everybody sustains a writing and recording career in the way that he did, but he narrowed his life down to not much else than doing those things, writing songs, turning songs into records. And so, you know, what do I think of? I just think of that pile of material that has, you know, blown me away over decades.
You know, sometimes I don't know why, but this old town just seems so hopeless. I ain't really sure, but it seems I remember the good times with just a little bit more in focus. But when she puts her arms around me, I can somehow rise above it. Yeah, man, when I got that little girl standing right by my side, you know, I can tell the whole wide world that shit is dead. Here comes my girl. Here comes my girl.
I read that your kids are about the age when you started to really know Tom Petty. Is that correct?
Yeah. When I went through my divorce, Tom Petty wrote notes to my sons because he'd been through a divorce and he knew what it was like. And he got out his personal stationery and wrote these notes to my sons. And, you know, at that moment in time, it probably meant more to the dad than it did to the boys. But that started changing. And
what kind of conversation did you have with them when you found out he was gone?
Now you're getting now you're hitting the emotional nerves. Well, I'm going to try and tell this story. You know, my own. I'm going to try and tell this story. My own father died a few months ago, and I've seen him two times in about 35 years. And I 2 years ago brought my sons to meet him. They met him once, and you know, a burden was lifted. And when he died, my oldest son asked if I was okay, and I said, yeah, you know, I'm okay. I said, I got to be honest with you. You know, when there's someone who you should have known but you didn't know and they die, well, probably the pain of losing them started a long time ago. And so when they actually die, it's not that different from a year ago, 2 years ago. And that was the case with my father. But when Tom Petty died, it was different. Because I wasn't ready for it. And I'm not going to say this guy was paternal to me, but if I can do something for my sons, like what Tom Petty did for me, I'd say it was good fathering. And, you know, my boys did get to see me experience that loss over the past couple days. And, you know, they should see it. They should see a grown man missing another man. It's, you know, it's very positive. And, you know, they know that this guy enriched my life, and, you know, gonna miss him.
And sorry to hear about your dad as well. It took you a good while to write the biography, Petty. And that's because you cared?
You know, it's funny. Usually when you start a book project, you've got a contract. And I didn't have one. I started this book contract because, I mean, not this book project, not contract. I started it because Tom came to me and said, would you be interested in writing my biography? Now, he is one interesting cat because he came to me and he said this, and I said, you know, I would be honored. You know, how do you see it happening? And very quickly, he had it kind of framed in and said, well, this is not ghostwritten. This is not you helping me with an autobiography. This is not authorized. This is you writing your book, and I cooperate. You need me to get somebody for an interview, I will get them if I can. You need me, I'm here, but it's your book. And now, why not authorized? He said when he saw a book and it said the authorized biography, he felt like he knew it was whitewashed. It was from the inside. He's like, I don't want that. I don't want anybody to doubt this thing. And so that's your responsibility. So I started this project. I didn't then go find a publisher. I didn't even find an agent. I was a couple years in when my now wife, Svetlana, helped me to get the thing in motion. And it's like I had all these interviews and she helped me find the time. And like once she you know, as a friend, helped to motivate me. I had an agent by the end of the week, and the next week a contract, and then it was a 2-year process. But I did quite a bit of work just on my own, and if there were expenses, I paid for them. Very unusual. I would never do it that way again, but it was Tom Petty, and it started in a special way, you know?
Warren Zanes, we can see how much Tom Petty has meant to you, not only as maybe a father figure, but also as an artist. Is there something that this jazz and blues and rhythm and blues community here of WBGO needs to know about Tom that they don't know?
Well, he's a product of a time when there was a fluidity between pop and rock and roll and R&B and blues, and he came into music in that time. And so you hear the R&B, you hear the blues. You know, when he thinks of Slim Harpo, and then he thinks of Elvis Presley, he doesn't take his mind to two different places. They're two loves. You know, Jimmy Reed, huge for him. You know, James Brown, Solomon Burke, he knew all this stuff. But he was born in a moment when you could turn on an AM radio and hear all of this stuff together. You could hear Hendrix into James Brown, into Frank Sinatra, into Aretha Franklin, into B.B. King. And this wasn't eclectic radio. It was AM radio. And the generation that grew up with that, and it was going to change, but the generation that grew up with that has black music in the fiber of what they create. And I think that's one of the things that made it a Renaissance period.
Last question. He had just completed a wonderful 40th anniversary tour, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Did you get to say anything to him about what that meant to him? Did you talk to him about after the tour? Did you get a chance to even sit down and converse after that tour?
Nope. There isn't, you know, and I recommend people look at this. There is an interview he did with the LA Times that I think came out today that was the last interview he did. And it is not a man who was ready to stop working. What you heard was someone who was smart enough and savvy enough to keep his band together. And when you keep a band together, you know, imagine if the Beatles stayed together for 40 years, what we'd be getting. You know, here's a band, a very, very good band, with a drummer, a second drummer, who came out of R&B, and they've been going for that long. And Tom Petty kept it together long enough that, man, he was as interested in as anybody in what else that band could do. You know, these small combos that from the 50s forward, you know, it happened in jazz, it happened in rock and pop and R&B. These small combos were really, really interesting things. And they changed with time, but mostly people couldn't keep them together because there's nothing that's a bigger pain than a band member. You know, it's just, you got to like really work to do it. And Tom Petty did the work. And I think there he was in the last week of his life, and he was interested in what that combo was yet to do. And I love that about him.
And we really love the fact that you have taken some time to just give us a better picture of Tom Petty, the man and the musician. Warren Zanes, you know, continued success in everything that you're doing. You have so many different roles now, you know, from musician to author to host to you name it, to father. And we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much.